The Backlog, a podcast hosted by Adaptivate. I'm Katie Cords, Head of Branded Content. Adaptivate partners with clients to accelerate outcomes by implementing new, transformative ways of working. We are a global firm with offices in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. In this episode of The Backlog, we present a talk that Laura Picardi gave to Adaptivate for International Women's Day 2021. Laura is an executive coach, speaker, author, and is the founder of UPPY, a stress management consultancy. We hope you enjoy this talk.
Now, also, before we start, I want to let you know that I'm going to get a few of you. I'm just going to pick some of you at random to jump online and give us a 1 minute intro. So just have a little think about what it is that you might want to say to the group. I'm only kidding. I'm not actually going to get you to do that. But what I do want you to think about is what just went through your mind when I said that was going to happen. Oh my gosh, I haven't got my hair done properly. What angle is my camera at? Am I going to look fat? Am I going to have a double chin? I know what to say. What if I say something stupid? Why didn't she tell us this was going to happen? Oh my goodness. All of that. And it didn't even happen. And if you're like most of us, you'll get all of that and more before you even start your day, before you've even done your morning week. And it doesn't stop, does it? Let's take a quick look at the day in the life of a professional lady. So you're running around, rushing, trying to get yourself ready in the morning, so preoccupied with all the things that you've got to do that day, all the time that you don't have to do it, that you forget to put deodorant on. But you don't realize until you step into your first meeting, having run around like a blue-ass fly all morning, trying to get there on time. And of course, everyone wants to shake your hand. Then later, you're in your team meeting, trying to focus on all the key priorities for the week and trying to motivate your team to take massive action. And all you can think is, I really hope they can't see my muffin top. You're pretty sure you've managed to conceal it underneath the oversized 80s jacket that you pulled from the archive that morning, but there's still a little bit of fear in you that somehow, some way, a little bulge has made its way into the public eye. Oh, the shame. But then a new problem arises. Underneath that pure polyester jacket from the past, your body temperature starts to rise by like 6 degrees or more. It's as if you've wrapped yourself in plastic bags. There ain't no airflow getting through that bad boy. So of course, moisture starts to form upon your person. Yeah, you start sweating. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's rather inconvenient given that you forgot to put deodorant on this morning. And yes, it is. But what's more inconvenient is trying to figure out a way to mop the sweat from your upper lip while addressing a room full of people without them seeing. So all your fears are coming true. You knew it was only a matter of time before everyone found out that you got no idea what you're doing. Nothing screams incompetence like a sweaty upper lip. So you wrap up the meeting as quickly as you can, knowing that you've lost all respect from your team, and you retreat back to your office to numb the pain with caffeine and chocolate. Finally, the day starts to draw to a close and you can lie your head on the pillow. Right after you sent your final few emails from your phone and you've made yourself feel even more inadequate by scrolling through social media and checking out just how much better everyone else's life is compared to yours. But you can't go to sleep yet. Oh no, not until you've rerun the entire day over in your head just a few more times, berating yourself for all the things that you shouldn't or should have said and all the things you shouldn't or should have eaten. So you resolve that tomorrow you'll be good and you'll just put more effort in to try and win back the respect that you lost today. And as you lie there, trying to remember a time where you didn't feel like you were drowning in shit, you finally drop off to sleep. Welcome to the world of a female professional. We have got a lot going on. Now, what you might not realize is, as well as driving you crazy, All these thoughts, together with your inability to switch off, are actually constantly triggering the stress response, the old fight or flight mode, which I'm sure you've all heard of. So our brain constantly thinks that we're under threat, and it's working overtime to try and protect us. Now, the only problem with that is it's never going to be successful because the threat is never going away. It's kind of like trying to fight or run away from your shadow. You're never going to win because your shadow isn't a real thing, and neither are your thoughts. Because here's the thing, our brain doesn't know the difference between real and perceived. So it's going to react in the exact same way as if a physical threat was coming our way, as if it was a mental one with all these thoughts. So let's say, for example, that a wild animal starts charging at us. Our brain is going to kick into flight mode and get us the hell out of there. Or perhaps our partner tries to take the last piece of chocolate when we're on our period. Our brain is going into fight mode in that situation, and probably fight dirty mode. Am I right, ladies? So look, let's have a little bit of a look at the science. So look, what that means is you're setting off all these thoughts and this response before you even step out of bed in the morning. So here's what happens. A stress occurs, and as we've just explained, that stress can just be lots of thoughts, you know, checking your emails, thinking about everything that you've got to do that day. So that then sets off our amygdala, which is the area of the brain that is responsible for survival. So that sends a distress signal to the hypothalamus, which is basically the command center of our brains. That then sends a signal to our autonomic nervous system. So I'd like you for a moment to imagine that you are sat in a car. Put yourself in the driver's seat, and I want you to imagine, or even do, because no one's watching you, put your foot on the accelerator, and then I'd like you to put the other foot on the brake. So the autonomic nervous system is essentially the car. The accelerator is the sympathetic nervous system, or fight or flight mode. And the brake is the parasympathetic nervous system, which we call rest and digest mode. So I'm sure you can appreciate, if we were to keep our foot constantly on the accelerator of a car, it's going to run out of fuel and break down, right? Well, it's exactly the same for our bodies. However, if we can just put our foot on the brake a little bit more consistently throughout the day, it's going to allow our parasympathetic nervous system to come out to play and our sympathetic nervous system to calm the hell down. Meaning our bodies can calm the hell down and we can go about our business with a whole lot more ease. So I want you to put your imagining hat on again, and I'd like you to imagine your ideal day. So a day where everything just kind of works. So you're feeling calm and energized, work is flowing, your relationships are strong, you're not sweating the small stuff, you just kind of let it roll on by. You know, maybe you're in your car and someone cuts you up. No problem, sir, please pop in right ahead of me. Nothing fazes you on this day. So I hope you're all imagining that day and how good that feels. So when you put your foot on the brake more consistently, that's actually how you can feel every single day. Because in that mode, you are in control of your thoughts and actions rather than out of them, meaning that you have the power to choose how you respond to everything that comes your way, the good, the bad, and the downright ugly. So that's what I'm going to be teaching you today. Is how to put your foot on the brake more consistently, how to leverage the way that your brain works so that you can indeed have more control. You can choose to challenge anything that's not working for you in your life, and therefore you can choose to change. What I do want to do is just share a little bit of my story, because I think it's important for you to understand why I do what I do and why I get this so much, unfortunately. So I am a POM, clearly. And I moved to Australia and I fell into the health and fitness industry. Now, I'm a very driven person, as I am sure most, if not all of you are on the call today. And so I wasn't content with just being a personal trainer. I wanted to own my own gym. So I found an old video store, if anyone remembers what those things are. and I converted it into this lovely personal training studio that you see before you. So this was my baby. I worked my butt off, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally to get to this. So to just give you an idea of what that looked like for me, I would have maybe 4 to 5 hours of sleep per night. Some mornings I'd get up at 3:30 in the morning so that I could train before starting my day, lived on coffee to then get through the day. When I had my gym, I used to sleep on a swag. For those of you that are not in Australia, a swag is a like mat that you sleep on the floor that you can zip up over yourself, so all the terrifying things in Australia can't kill you while you sleep. So I used to sleep on a swag in my office so I didn't have to waste time going home and coming back again. P.S. I lived 15 minutes away, so that was a little bit ridiculous. And as a result, I started to experience stuff with my health that I couldn't fix with diet and exercise. Stuff like I had very low energy, or I'd be really wired at weird times of the day, extreme hormonal issues, digestive issues, extreme bloating, to the point where one of my clients asked me one day if I was pregnant, which, ladies, you know that is never a question you want to be asked if you are not pregnant. I had very erratic moods. I couldn't think clearly. All this was going on, but honestly, at that time, I was too busy to really do anything about it. So I'd do a bit here and there, but I just kind of, you know, brushed it off as normal or something that I would get to. So luckily, I think the universe gave me a big kick up the bum one day and said, "Hey, Laura, you cannot continue like this. You must stop." And so that came in the form of a phone call from my head trainer, who I had left on a Friday afternoon in the studio to finish the day. And I went home to chill out slash crash on the couch. So he called me and he said, "Hey, Laura, there's been a bang and there's some smoke." So my first reaction was, for God's sake, can't I just have one afternoon without there being an issue? But needless to say, I jumped in my car, went back down to the studio. On the way, I had a text message from my alarm saying overload. And I got to the traffic lights, a fire engine screamed past, and I could smell smoke. So long story short, over the course of the next 2 hours, this was my gym. So you are looking at the inside from the outside, which, trust me, no business owner ever wants to do. And this is the inside from the inside. So remember I said I was very driven? Well, this was my chance to really go into fight mode, to be the phoenix rising from the flames. So I actually did my boxing class in the park the next day. And then the next day I relocated my whole business to another gym and kept on training for about another 9 months. Now, during that time, all of the things that I told you about with my health just supersized. So I went into adrenal fatigue. I was in full burnout. I would struggle to even get off the couch. I didn't have any energy to do anything. Somehow I managed to fake it till I made it when I actually would go in and in front of my team and my clients. But eventually I was like, nah, this is madness. I can't do it anymore. So I shut everything down and I went on this big old journey to try and understand what the hell was going on with my body. You know, fast forward, lots of money, lots of time, lots of, you know, reading, qualifications, courses, workshops. Actually, I always like to share this story. One of the catalysts for really figuring it out was I found myself in a room full of women. We were all in a circle. And we were being told to jump up and down and scream at the ceiling so that we could summon goddesses down to us. And at that point, I was like, yeah, I need help. So eventually I got to the point where I realized and I started to truly appreciate that it was my mind driving my body. When I say that, I mean things in my mind like perfectionism, wanting to be the best all the time, setting really high standards and goals that were too high to achieve, then beating myself up for not achieving them, wanting to be liked by everyone, wanting to please everyone, going to the extremes all the time, you know, very all or nothing. All of these different mindsets and beliefs were actually causing all this physiological response in my body. So once I started to really do the work there, that's when I got my health and my life back. Then I started to realize, you know what? Everyone's going through something like this to some degree, but they don't understand what's truly going on and they don't understand that it's here and it's themselves holding themselves back. So that's why I created my company Uppy, and that's why I do what I do, because I don't want anyone to have to go to the place that I went to. It sucks and it takes a really long time to get out of it. So ideally we'd be proactive, employ these strategies before we have to go to a bad place, so that we can create that change and not have to experience such a tricky, challenging situation. All right, so let's get back to the sciencey bit and all the strategies. So we have not changed. Even though the world around us has evolved at an amazing rate, our bodies and our brains haven't. So we still respond in the same way as we did when we were cave people. Just the difference is that back then it was, you know, a woolly mammoth or a saber-toothed tiger or a rival gang coming to take our land, whereas now it's too many emails, not enough time, trying to fit everything in, you know, trying to work from home and also negotiate kids and homeschool kids and husbands and all that kind of stuff. So our body still responds, even though it's different, in the same way. Now, one of the important points I really want you to take away from today, and I'm going to keep on banging on about it, is that our brain's number one priority is always to keep us safe. So everything you think, everything you do, it's a strategy employed by your brain to protect you, to ensure that you can survive, you can keep the species going, essentially. Now, I know what you're possibly thinking, Laura, why does my brain make me eat a whole block of chocolate and drink too much wine on the weekend? How is that a survival strategy? Good question. It is. It's just a weird one when you logically think about it. So that's actually our brain protecting us and keeping us in our comfort zone and holding us back. Because if we step out of our comfort zone, we step into the unknown and we don't know what's going to happen there. There's all sorts of potential dangers. So our brain, especially if we're in the stress response and we're already emotional and feeling under danger, our brain's like, nah, you ain't going out there. I'm going to give you some thoughts and some behavior patterns that are going to hold you back, keep you in your comfort zone, because we know that we're safe here and we know that that danger isn't going to get us. So as I said, remember, our brain's number one priority is always to keep us safe. So let's just come back to this model again. So as I said, stress occurs, goes from the amygdala through the hypothalamus to the autonomic nervous system and then to the sympathetic nervous system, so that accelerator of the car. So then our body will set off all these physiological responses. It will release different chemicals and hormones. Adrenaline and cortisol are the two major ones in this instance, all designed to literally help us fight or run away. So as you can see, our heart rate and blood pressure increases, our breathing rate increases, our whole body is flushed with all the energy that we have stored in our liver and our muscles. And all of that is taken to our muscles, or it's taken to our vital organs so that we can, as I said, physically fight or run away. Now, I always like to mention at this point, or to make note of the breathing rate and the heart rate. So we are, I believe, in a bit of an anxiety epidemic nowadays. A lot of people, especially driven people, are wandering around with some level of anxiety going on. So this is particularly important for you and really important for you to understand that it's this response that's going on at some degree consistently. So really start to make note of how you can manage and overcome this. So let's just look at some of the areas that are impacted if we're constantly in this stress response and we're not actually fighting or running away. So as I said, the body will send all of its resources to whatever it needs to do that flight or fight. And it'll also look at our different systems and decide what it doesn't need at that time. So it certainly doesn't need to be digesting stuff. That's not going to help us survive. So it steals the energy in the blood from our digestion. It just slows and shuts it down so that those resources can be better utilized elsewhere. So in this instance, we might start to experience erratic bowels. We might have food allergies that we never had before. We might get irritable bowel syndrome. Bloating is a massive one amongst us ladies. All of these are signs that our digestion isn't functioning well. And please don't ever underestimate the power of our digestion. That kind of can be the source of a lot of issues for us. So it's very important in the way that you eat, in the way that you live your lifestyle, to always keep your digestion in the front of your mind and always do things to help that be healthy and strong. So if our digestion isn't working, number one, it can't extract nutrients from the food that we've eaten, assuming we've eaten good food with good nutrients in the first place. So it means that we get tired right down to a cellular level because this energy isn't getting to our cells. And it also means that we're not getting rid of toxicity. So that toxicity starts to build up. And that then causes inflammation. So inflammation is this buildup of toxicity and of acidity. And it's kind of the precursor to a lot of issues, inflammation. So particularly different illnesses and diseases, serious diseases as well. So we really want to avoid inflammation, keep our body alkalized and as low in toxicity as possible. Now, the lymphatic system is also affected by this. So think of the lymphatic system as the highway of our body. So it will transport all those nutrients around to the different cells. It will allow our immune system to get to where it needs to get to. And it also transports this toxicity. So if we got too much, it starts to get blocked up. So it's literally like a car pileup on a motorway. And so nothing can get through. And as you know, nothing really good happens when there's a big pileup. So again, we want to make sure that that system is functioning and allowing everything to move through the body. The liver is the major detoxifier of the body. So of course, this is also impacted if we've got a toxic buildup. What that means is it can't do its job because it's overworked. Other impacts are it can't process fat properly, can't process sex hormones properly. So we end up with all this excess in our system. Now, the liver is intimately linked with the brain and with our mood. So if you find that you're flat or maybe you're sad consistently, of course, it could be stuff going on in our brain. But also physiologically, our liver might be overworked and our digestion might not be working. So trying to get to those two sources at the same time as working on the mindset stuff is really important because it will just accelerate your recovery. Another system that likes to be shut down during this process is reproduction. So your brain thinks, well, I'm certainly not going to bring a baby into the world because there's danger all over the place. So it will start to shut that down as well. So what that means is, ladies, we can experience more PMS, just so you know, we shouldn't actually get PMS if we're functioning well. So I don't know about you, but for me, that is motivation enough to do something about this response. And also for the men, I'd say, because we're all affected by PMS. It also means that libido is low for men and women, and of course, problems conceiving. Then we've also got the thyroid. So you might find you're putting on or losing weight inexplicably. So that can be a sign that your thyroid is confused with the stress response. So paying attention to that. And then finally, we have insulin. So because our body is constantly being flooded with all the energy, but it's not being used because these dangers generally, you know, us sat at our desk or behind our car wheel, it means that insulin is being released to balance those blood sugar levels, but actually it's not necessary and it's not being used. So then we've got excess in our system and then our body starts to use it incorrectly or stop using it correctly. So it means that we can become insulin resistant or even get type 2 diabetes. Oh, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Now, I don't wish to be a fear monger, but it's very important to just know, because a lot of these things happen to us and we brush them off as normal. Like I said, with me, I was too busy to deal with it. And we can get to these things. If we can get to these things early, we can do something about it. But when they start to build up, that's when it becomes more difficult, and it becomes more difficult to understand where it's come from and where to actually focus our attention. So if you've got any of these little niggles going on, I really encourage you to pay attention and do something about it before you have to hit that really crappy burnout stage. Okay, so I'd like you to please just write down for yourself, I don't need it in the chat, but I'd like you to look at these stress symptoms and write down the top 5 symptoms that you experience when you're stressed. So it's really important that we start to tune into ourselves and our bodies and understand what our bodies are telling us. So our bodies are incredibly wise. They're keeping us alive right now without us having to consciously think about it. You know, our hearts are beating, our lungs are breathing, our blood is moving around the body. So that subconscious mode in our body will give us these signs and these symptoms in order to tell us something is not okay. So if we can be aware of them, then we can create a game plan and get on top of it, as I said before it has to become a big problem. So identify those top five ones for you so you can just start to become a bit more aware. You can even share it with loved ones, you know, with colleagues. Sometimes we're too far in it to really notice. But if someone else can notice it in us, again, we can get to it a little bit quicker. Okay, I hope you're all good, still with me, and it's a lot of things that I'm saying. But now we're going to talk about some strategies. So as I said, our brain's number one priority is to keep us safe. And it does that because it thinks that there's danger constantly present. So if we know that this response is happening because the brain thinks that we're in danger, then we can manage and overcome it by constantly communicating safety to our brain. Now, one of the easiest ways to do this is to regularly step back. Now, this is what I was talking about around putting our foot on the brake more consistently. So you'll see on the screen, I've got a picture of a lady with a bow and arrow. So the point of a bow and arrow is to shoot the arrow as far forward as you can to hit the target, right? Hopefully the nice little bit in the middle. Now, in order to do that, we have to take the arrow in the opposite direction to where we want to go. But in doing so, it gets the momentum that it needs to be able to reach that target as quickly and efficiently as possible. If we didn't do that, we would literally push the arrow forward, it flop down. Push it forward, flop down. It might eventually get to the target, but it's going to take a long time and it's going to be a lot harder. Guess what? It's the same for us. We are constantly pushing, pushing, pushing. Haven't got time to stop. Got to keep going, got to keep going. Quick, coffee, 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 sugar. Let's try and get through the day. Just get as much done as we can. And that's when we start to experience all the effects from this response. However, if we can just step back, put our foot on that brake consistently throughout the day, it's essentially like hitting Control Alt Delete on our brain. So we can actually then re-energize and also get that momentum to move forward quickly and efficiently and get to our target as quickly and efficiently as possible. So I know what you might be thinking now. Some of you might be freaking out going, yeah, great. I don't have time to step back. And I get it. So what I'm sharing with you now are super simple strategies that you can fit into your daily life. But I want you to note that the key with this is consistency. So if we pick these simple strategies, but commit to doing them consistently over time, that is what is going to create change. I know as driven people, we all want that silver bullet, that quick fix. I'm going to tell you right now, this isn't a quick fix, but what it is it's an investment in the long term. When you reach that point, you're going to keep it. So you're not going to just have it for a moment and then it's gone, as I'm sure probably all of you experienced with some sort of health goal at some point in your life. So let's start with breathing. We can all do it. I hope we're all doing it now. But the question is, are you doing it correctly? Now, the answer probably is possibly not. We tend to breathe in our chest a lot these days because of the response I told you about. Our lung breathing rate increases, our heart rate increases in order to be protecting us. So that means we're not getting all the benefit that we can get from breathing. So we're going to do some now. So I'm going to get you to do some deep diaphragmatic breathing with me. So what I want you to focus on is filling up your entire torso. So from the pit of your belly up to your chest, the front, the sides, and the back. So when you breathe in, everything expands. And when you breathe out, everything contracts. So we're going to do three breaths together. All right, here we go. Number one, breathing in. And again. And one more. All right, I don't know if you're experiencing the same, but I'm super chilled right now. So that is something that you can have anytime, anywhere. It's free. It is always accessible. You see, I've put a photo of a toilet on there. You might be wondering why. That's what I tell my clients to do all the time, is go to the toilet and breathe, because you can be guaranteed not to get disturbed when you're in the toilet, whether it's colleagues, if you're in the office, or kids or husbands when you're at home. Take yourself to that place, lock the door, and just breathe. So what that does is it communicates safety to your brain, right? Because if you were in danger, you'd need that fast heart rate and that fast breathing rate. However, your brain looks at that when you're breathing slowly and goes, oh, okay, well, she's super chilled right now and she's breathing slow and deep. So clearly there can't be any danger present. So I'm just going to calm the hell down. So that's the easiest one that you can do anytime, anywhere. Then we have meditation. Now, I know some of you, again, might freak out at the notion of that. Perfectly normal. When you start meditation, even sometimes when you've been doing it for years, it's a terrible experience. You sit down, you try to meditate. Every thought that could possibly come into your brain comes into your brain. You feel anxious as all hell. You think, why the hell am I putting myself through this? Now, I get it. And as I said, everyone goes through that. But it's important to remember that everything takes time to learn. So you go through this every single day and throughout your life, right? If you want to acquire a skill, you have to do it consistently, and sooner or later, it becomes a natural way of doing things. You know, when you first started to learn or to drive, or even in your job, you couldn't do it to start with, but you kept doing it consistently, and now you can do it with your eyes closed, I'm sure. So you can get different apps to help you with that. Calm is a good one. Headspace is a good one. There's another one called Insight Timer. So make it easy on yourself, have something to guide you through it. Just remember, the point of meditation is to just be still and to be very focused on one thing, because the point of all these strategies is to allow these thoughts to start melting away so that they're not triggering this response and not running around in our brains all the time. So that's meditation. Then we've got set boundaries. So if you understand what it is that causes this stress for you, you can start to create game plans around that and have strategies to try and minimize that impact. So, you know, it could be something around working hours, for example. I know when we're working from home, it's really easy to kind of let those times and those boundaries slip. And you're like, oh, it's fine. I can just keep going a little bit longer. But what that means is you're not letting your brain relax. You're constantly in this go, go, go mode. So again, it's not like you have to stop early every single day. Maybe you just start by saying, right, one day this week, I'm going to down tools at 5 p.m. That might be 2, 3, 4 hours, maybe earlier than you normally do. I'm going to go and do something with someone I love, or for myself, or I'm just going to go outside, or even binge watch Netflix. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, just something that allows your brain to step back, control, alt, delete, and let these thoughts melt away. Another boundary that's really helpful is around technology, particularly at nighttime or in the morning. As we found out earlier, most people are checking their phones in the morning. So you might set a boundary around that and say, right, you know what? When I first wake up, I'm gonna do a few deep breaths and I'm not gonna look at my phone till I've done my morning wee, for example. Start with that and then build. And remember, slow and steady wins the race, and consistency is the key. So the next one I love is do what you love. So, you know, again, this can be simple. So of course it's great, you know, to go traveling when you can, if you love that. Go and walk on the beach, or go to nature, or go to a comedy show, or the cinema. But of course this isn't possible all day, every day. So finding the little things that light you up and make you feel good, and filtering those into your schedule is really important, because if you're doing something that makes you feel good or happy or content, of course your brain goes, oh, well, she's feeling good right now. She's laughing. There's no way danger could be present. So I'm just going to calm the hell down, let that parasympathetic nervous system come out to play. So again, really easy things work so well. So it could be rocking out to your favorite music while you're getting ready for work in the morning, or even at lunchtime. It could be watching puppy videos on YouTube for a bit. I mean, who doesn't like that? Or it could be, you know, doodling something, or you might go to your coffee shop, shoot the breeze with your barista for a few minutes, go for a little walk around the block, do some star jumps. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, but just figure out what are a few little things that make you feel good, that make you feel happy. I'd suggest music for one. We all have at least a plethora of songs, but you know, songs that take us back to a happy time. If we have that, our brain goes back to that happy time and we get those happy feelings back. So you can have a go-to song. I've got one that I put on every time before I do a talk, and I jump around to it, and it makes me feel energized and motivated and empowered. So we can trick our brains and take them to a place that we want them to be by having these little triggers. So that's a good one. And then of course, we have to mention eating and exercise. So please go get some expert advice if you think you really need attention in these areas. But a couple of key things to remember. Number one is eat in a calm state. So I know nowadays we all like to eat al desco, but that's really not helpful. As I said before, digestion doesn't work when we're stressed. So if we're then putting food into our digestion when it's in that state, it's not going to process. We're going to end up bloated, feeling disgusting, not being able to think clearly for the rest of the afternoon. However, if you can take just 10 minutes, take yourself away from your desk, even away from the office if you can, leave your phone down, do a few deep breaths, then start eating and just really focusing on that. It's going to put you into rest and digest mode. There's a reason it's called that. And it's going to allow you to process that and be more energized for the rest of the day. And then exercise. So exercise is a stress on the body. Doesn't need to be a bad stress on the body. But if we're already in this response, it's essentially like adding fuel to the fire. So again, it's just about checking in with yourself and asking, okay, I just did that exercise and I'm feeling extra tired, or I've got extra aches and pains than I usually do. So maybe you need to just bring it down a notch, or maybe even do some lower impact stuff just for a little while. You know, yoga, swimming, walking, something like that. Keep checking in. If you start to feel better, go back to some higher intensity and just keep going like that. And you might find some weeks you can do the higher intensity, some weeks you can't. It's just about being constantly in tune with your body. And to just give you a little example of that, so when I was in my biggest stress state, I gave up my hard exercise, which was terrifying because I was convinced I'd become morbidly obese if I didn't work my ass off every day in the gym. So I did yoga and I walked for 2 years. And guess what? I lost weight. I got more energy. I was more calm. Didn't sweat the small stuff. My husband was happier because I wasn't a maniac. So it's just, again, about understanding what you need at any given time. So I like to think of this as a financial investment, right? So we all want to have a future that's secure financially. So in order to do that, we consistently make deposits, whether it's in the bank or shares or property, whatever it is, we constantly make little deposits so that we can build that wealth and have the future that we want. Our health is exactly the same. So that's what these steps back are. So if you think that you're too busy to do it, just think, you know what, I've got to make a little deposit, a little investment in my health, because what I put into it today, I'm going to reap the benefits in the future. It's a good weight loss experience. All right, so let's have a look at the brain and what's driving all this. So we now have physical ways to manage and overcome it. So we want to look at where it comes from and how we can get to it at its source. So again, have a look at these and identify maybe your top three thoughts that go on in your head consistently, like a broken record. So you might not be consciously aware of these right now, but if you actually sit and think about it, you'll realize that you have got some of these thoughts, some other ones as well. This is a little snippet. I could probably fill up an entire football pitch of thoughts that go on in our heads. But just have a think about what is it that's playing on repeat in your brain. You'll notice there's some ones in there around, you know, I haven't done enough. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in over my head. That's all very much related to imposter syndrome, which I'm sure you've all heard of. Most of us go through it at some point in our lives or consistently. So start to notice that. And then we'll talk about what we want to do with that. So let's have a look at the brain. Now, every single second, we absorb 2 million bits of information through all of our senses. So what we see, taste, touch, smell, and hear. So we absorb 2 million bits, but we actually only consciously process 134 of those bits, which basically means there is a lot of stuff going on around us that we're never consciously aware of. And we couldn't be, because we'd be completely overwhelmed. So the way our brain decides which bits to let into our consciousness depends on things like our values, beliefs, experiences, culture, attitudes, our memories, and what's going on in our brain at that time, our thought patterns. So 2 million bits are all around us. Our brain takes them, sends it through what I call our internal blueprint, and then gives us consciously 134 of those bits that are related to that blueprint. So what that means is our thoughts create our reality. So if our brain is interpreting the world externally according to our internal blueprint, it means that our reality is different for every single person. So it's very much, or it's exactly like when you buy a new car. I'm sure you've all had this experience. So you buy a new car and then you start to see that car everywhere on the road. I'm sure you've all experienced that. Well, that's because you have the image of that car in your internal blueprint. So it doesn't mean that there's more of those cars on the road. It's just that your brain is filtering all of the bits around you according to your blueprint, which has this image in it. And so therefore that's what you consciously see and what you consciously experience. So I want you to come back to those thoughts that you identified, because these are making up a big portion of your blueprint. So we have all sorts of different things that make up our blueprints, but these thoughts that we have on repeat every day, they're a very strong part of it with very rigid guidelines. And so if that's causing us not to experience the world in the way that we want to, then we really need to start changing that blueprint. So the way we change our brain is the same as the way we change our physical bodies. So if you wanted, a tight bum, for example, you would do particular exercises, probably go to the gym consistently and do those same exercises, right? Over and over and over. So you've got those buns of steel. So our brain is exactly the same. So it's made up of different neural pathways, which are built through us doing things consistently. So these thought patterns that you have right now, you didn't employ a mega strategy or take a silver bullet in order to create them. You just started thinking it one day, then you kept thinking over and over and over. Those neural pathways fused together and that became your natural way of thinking. Now, the good news is if we don't use those neural pathways, we lose them. So if we can identify a new blueprint and create actions and game plans to consistently employ to really reinforce that, the old pathways are going to die off and the new pathways are going to fuse and get stronger, then that is going to be our natural way of being. So a really good place to start when it comes to building your new blueprint is to ask yourself, what can I do in order to just be myself? So we all have a fundamental need to prove ourselves. We do it all in different ways, but it again comes back to this caveman era, right? Where we need to be accepted because we need our tribe around us. Back then we needed the tribe so they could, you know, hunt, bring us food, protect us, procreate. If we didn't have our tribe, we wouldn't survive. So it's the same right now. So we are constantly checking, who should I be? What should I do right now? What does this person think of me? Comparing ourselves to other people, because we have this fundamental need to be accepted because that equals survival to us. So what that means is we go away from who we really are. And that's when all these thoughts come up, right? Imposter syndrome, it's a perfect example of this. And we have all these strategies when it's all too much. We self-sabotage a lot. And it's all because we are just moving further and further away from who we are. Whereas when we can just be who we are and have confidence to stay true to that, we don't have this need to prove ourselves anymore. So we don't have all these strategies. We don't have all these thoughts. So we're just more free to be able to focus on what is important with the people that are important to us. So when we are ourselves, we are Uppy. So Uppy is you, the real you, and nothing but the real you. And that is everything I always focus on helping people to become. So let's do one final exercise before we finish so that I can help you understand a way to start doing this and changing those neural pathways. Now, as I said, the brain doesn't know the difference between real and perceived. So we can really leverage that and we can basically create the world that we want internally so that then that's our blueprint and the brain starts filtering everything externally to align with that. So I would like you please to get yourself comfortable and close your eyes. And I'd like you to, first of all, just notice how you're breathing. I don't want you to change it in any way. Just notice, you know, where are you breathing? Is it in your belly? Is it in your chest? Are you breathing in or out of your nose or mouth? Just really focusing on that. And now I'd like you to go to that diaphragmatic breathing. So really focus on filling up your entire torso. So let it all expand when you breathe in and then contract when you breathe out. And I'd now like you to, in your head, count how many counts it takes for you to breathe in and then do the same amount of counts out. So it might be 2, 3, 4, 5, doesn't matter. Just even it out so it's the same for the in-breath as it is for the out-breath. And now I want you to take yourself to a place where you can truly be yourself, where you feel calm, present, content, happy. You know, it might be the beach, or it might be at home, your bedroom even, or a mate's house, a parent's house, wherever it is. I want you to transport yourself to that place now. And I want you to surround yourself in that place with the people and the things that allow you to be yourself. And I want you to notice all of that in as much detail as possible. So see what you would see, hear what you would hear, smell what you would smell, and most importantly, feel what you would feel. And I now want you to focus in on that feeling and focus in on where it is in your body. So is it in your gut, in your chest, in your throat maybe? Again, it doesn't matter, but just focus in on exactly where that feeling is in your body and really pay attention to how bloody good it feels to just be you. And now I want you to imagine that you've got a dial and you are turning everything up 100 times. All the sounds are louder, all the sights are stronger, more vibrant. That feeling is completely supersized. So turn that dial up and feel that feeling in your body multiplied by 100. That is when you have the power to choose to challenge anything that is not working for you in life, and when you have the power to choose to change.